Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Real Ones Podcast. I am your lovely host, David, and today I'm joined by special guest, Azmat Alvi. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on the podcast, David.
Yeah, bro.
My first time. You know, I'm excited for this, man.
It's your first time on a podcast, period?
Yeah, first time on a podcast.
Man. How do you feel coming into it?
I'm excited to see how it is, man. Like, thank you for having me. It's going to be a good experience for sure, man.
Yeah, bro. Of course. Thank you for actually responding to... For everyone that maybe doesn't know, I put a message out on LinkedIn. I'm just like, hey, if anybody wants to be on a podcast, let me know. And you, Azmat, you responded. And I'm like, oh, wow. I was kind of honored that you wanted to take the time out of your day to chat. So I'm like, thank you.
Of course, bro. Like, I couldn't let the opportunity go of being in my first podcast. So I had to do it.
Yeah, I hope it should be a good time. I hope it's a positive experience for us.
Yeah, it will be for sure.
Yeah. So before we get started, let's just tell the world what we're having on the podcast to drink. I know that you're fasting, so of course.
So it's the month of Ramadan right now, and I will be drinking this later on in the day when my fast is broken. But I brought the Lime Prime. I've been going through all the flavors this past week, and this is definitely the best one. And I've gone back to grab it for sure, man. It's amazing.
I've only had the popsicle.
Oh,
that one's decent. It was really sweet.
Yeah, it's really sweet, but there's not a lot of sugar in these. So it's like this one is 2 grams of sugar and it's more sour. The other ones I found are way too sweet. So this one is a little bit nicer. Definitely gotta try it, bro.
Yeah. How much was it? Because I swear at one point it was like $7 a bottle.
This one I got from Circle K. Like, they have a license. I think it was like $3.50.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not, but it's still pretty expensive, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's worth it, I'd say.
Okay. I'll check it out. I've wanted to try it for a while.
Yeah, definitely go for the lime one or then go for the fruit punch one.
I like that. I'll keep that in mind. But yeah, so, I mean, for myself and for everyone listening, do you want to introduce yourself, your school program?
Yeah, and for sure. My name is Azmat Alvi, and I am going into my fourth year of computer science at Laurier University. And I'm also a business owner where I run a marketing agency where we specialize in SMS marketing for restaurants. So that's like loyalty programs and stuff like that. And we also specialize in email marketing for e-commerce stores. And I started this business in September. And, you know, alhamdulillah, has been going well for the few months that I've been working for it.
Yeah. What's the business name?
Phaeton Consulting. That's the business name. You guys can check it out.
That's right. Check them on LinkedIn. Do you have a website?
LinkedIn, website, Instagram. That's what I use mostly.
It'll all be in the show notes, so people can just find it easily.
Yeah, check it out.
That's awesome. So how did you start Phaeton Consulting? What was the inspiration for it?
So originally my plan was to become a front end developer. Mm-hmm. And as I was doing front end development, I was learning HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and all those languages. And one of my buddies, he was doing email marketing from like a while back from high school time. Mm-hmm. So he told me about it and he said, you know, I'd love to see if you can like design some emails with code. And I started working with him and we were just designing emails for him. I didn't understand like the business part of it. I was just like doing the development work. And then as time went on, my friend, he became very successful doing this stuff, like very successful for a young guy. And he was just like, yeah, man, you helped me a lot. So I want to help you get started as well. So he gave me a few pointers along the way. And I started my business in September and it's been going well since.
That's awesome. How's it been going? Has it been, you know, have you been getting clients?
Yeah. So originally at first, you have to learn a little bit about design and a little bit of that stuff, but it comes easy. The hard part is getting the clients. So originally, I started with LinkedIn.
Yeah.
LinkedIn didn't work out so well. And then I moved on to Instagram DMs. And, you know, these Instagram accounts probably get hundreds of DMs a week. So that didn't work out as well either. And then I figured out Discord.
Really?
Yeah, Discord. So there's a lot of e-commerce Discord servers that I was joining a lot of them, and people would send their results screenshots into the Discord server. Mm-hmm. And then I over time through trial and error, I came up with like a script kind of, and I was just reaching out to like anyone who was sending out a screenshot, I was reaching out to them. And with that, I built a few clients. Okay. And now I'm trying to target another niche, and that's the restaurant niche. And so far, like, it's been going well, but there's still a lot more work to be done.
That's awesome. What have you found to be the biggest challenge of being a business owner and being a full-time student?
It's definitely being like focusing on the school aspect of it, because once you start making a little bit of money and you start, you know, you fall in love with the business, it's hard to focus on school. You just want to do all the business work. And I found myself, you know, I found myself pushing the school part to the side a little bit and focusing a lot more on my business. So I was doing like, I was working on my business for like 6, 7, 8 hours a day. And then I had no time for my schoolwork, and I had to start balancing that out a little bit more. Man, that was the hardest part for sure.
Honestly, I fully get that. Like with this podcast, it's so easy to get consumed into something that you're passionate about, especially when you see that there's a way to make a little bit of money out of it.
Exactly.
It's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
But so you're a comp sci or a CS student.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I don't know why. Even though it's on your LinkedIn and everything, I pictured you as like a business student.
No, I'm actually a CS student.
How's that?
Originally, so my first year, I was at York University for mechanical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And mechanical engineering has a tough workload. It's like I had like 5 courses my first semester, and I was taking the bus to school. So it was like from Brampton to York, it was about an hour and a half of a bus ride. So it was like I would leave my house at like 5:30, 6 a.m. sometimes to make an 8:30 lecture. And it was freezing outside, and I take public transit. So it was a struggle, man. I was there from like 7 in the morning sometimes to like 10 p.m. at night.
Wow.
And I did that for 2 semesters. And like midway through my first semester, I realized, I was like, you know what? This is like, I honestly liked it. I had to take a few CS courses as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved them. So I was like, okay, I can go the CS route, which has probably more job opportunities.
Mm.
And it's probably a little bit easier than the mechanical engineering as well. And I had the opportunity of going to a different school where all my buddies were living. You know, I wanted that experience too, the university experience.
Yeah. Probably.
I felt like I wasn't having it at York. So after my first semester, I talked to my parents. They're like, you know what? Go for it. So I switched to computer science at Laurier, and I was there from September 2021. Yeah. So September 2021 from until now, I've been a Laurier computer science student.
Wow. I have a friend who's in at Laurier. He's there for business and math. And he tells me it's killer.
Honestly, Laurier's BBA program is amazing, bro. Like the most academic students that you'll see are the ones in the BBA program.
That's crazy.
It's a sick program for sure.
But so have you found, and I mean, the way that I did a comp sci in grade 10 and 11, you know, got some programming in there. And I found, so it wasn't for me because it didn't make sense to me in my head how to translate my thoughts into code. So for you, did you ever find a similar struggle like that? Kind of.
Honestly, like the way the CS program worked was they started off as very simple stuff. I've always taken like I went from mechanical engineering to CS, so I was already pretty technical with all like science and math and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the hard part for me was once they started teaching us data structures, which came a little bit later. And that's when it got a little bit hard because the data structures were more abstract. You had to kind of put you had to think about it a lot more compared to like for loops and while loops and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, right? And like there was a little bit of a like a bridge I had to climb to get past that. But once that was done, like it's not much more to it than that. And then I guess to more like, you know, applications and all that. But once you know the data structures, I think you're good to go.
You know what? I wish I knew what a data structure was. I know the extent of my knowledge goes to arrays.
Arrays, yeah. For example, okay, so an array is a data structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like a more advanced array would be like a linked list array. And so a linked list array would be, okay, so you have each array, you know how you access an array with the number, right? So 0, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
That gives you which value of the array it is.
Yeah.
So the linked list array, it gives you it's like a connection between each point. So it's like you have to access it in a way where you have to go through each one.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a specific one. So it's just a little bit more technical, but I bet you, David, man, if I could teach you all this stuff in probably like a week.
Really?
In a week. I could teach you data structures in a week.
Okay. So say less. I want to be a CS guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's really cool. Like CS to me, I've always been so impressed by it because I feel like that's like you guys are leading the future because it's all technology. And kind of going back to fate in your business, I feel like programming, like anytime you mess up the code, for me, I always get like a little sense of rejection, you know? I mess up, I get rejected, and it kind of hurts a little bit. And in business, I'm sure you've experienced getting rejected when you're trying to pitch your services. How did you get over that fear of rejection?
Honestly, bro, like when I just started reaching out to people, I got no reply. So I was already used to being rejected. So once I started actually getting replies, it was just happiness there. But getting rejected is tough, especially once you, what I find is the toughest is when you're in talks with someone and, you know, they're interested, you spend a lot of time and then when they reject you afterwards, that's tough because you already put a lot of time into trying to get them as a client.
Yeah.
So yeah, but you know, you get over it. It's just like it's just mass communication, pretty much, bro. You just have to outreach.
Mm-hmm. So I want to give you a chance to kind of advertise your services a little bit because I think it is really cool, and I want to get a better understanding. So you create all the email marketing for restaurants?
No. Okay. So say there's like an e-commerce brand. I'm sure you've got a lot of promotional emails. Like once you go on a website. And they create, there's like a sign up form, right? Where you put your email in and they say like, they give an incentive for you to sign up.
Yeah.
So that would be like, take 10% off. Mm-hmm. So once you get those emails, like I would design that email that you get for that brand. So that would be me. And then there's a lot more to it. There's like email flows, there's email campaigns. So if you were to join that list, right? You'd be put into a flow. And that flow is a series of emails that I designed. And it's like in a technical way to get you to make a conversion kind of. So it's like what I usually do is the first email is like the discount email for the incentive. And if someone doesn't convert from that, then the second email would be like a brand story, trying to get them to fall in love with your brand a little bit. And the third one would be a customer review email. So you can see how other people, you know, how they rate the product itself. And then the fourth one is going to be a discount code bigger than the first one to give you an even bigger incentive. That's the first flow that I work for people. Okay. And that's just for e-commerce brands. I keep it with email marketing for e-commerce brands, but for actual restaurants, I got this right here. So I've been in the works with Lazeez Brampton to start their SMS marketing loyalty program. Wow. So pretty much what I did is I designed these table tents and I designed one for each table that they have. And pretty much it just says, join our VIP club and be the first to know about exclusive deals, discounts, and new menu items. Scan the QR code and sign up to get a free canned drink with your next order. So pretty much people will come into the store, they'll scan the QR code. And once they scan the QR code, I created a landing page for them to opt in and put in their information. So once they put their information in, they get like an automated text saying sign up. Like you signed up, press yes to, because you have to do like a double opt-in kind of. So they have to text yes. And then once they text the second yes, then they get the coupon and they can come in store and they can redeem the coupon. And right now I'm just working with the staff trying to get into the POS system and everything. But like the back end is all done.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So sick. Yeah, bro. So it's actually very cool. I was inspired because, you know, I was hungry one time at school and I was already doing the email marketing stuff. I was hungry. Yeah. Domino's sent me a text saying 50% off for a pizza. And I went right away, bro, to get the Domino's pizza.
I want to get that kind of message.
Yeah, man.
What the hell? 50% is crazy.
Yeah. So I got that 50% and I was like, shit, man, this is not that hard to implement for these guys. So I can just, I'm just branding into this. It is SMS marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was inspired to do it because the Domino's 50% off pizza. I went, I ate it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like this episode, so like, I know I told you be casual and I try to keep it casual, but I'm excited for this. I hope to be a little more like business focused. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you, bro.
Because I think it's so cool, and especially that you have such like a big client with Lazeez. That's incredible. So how did you come across making that connection and being able to work with them?
Okay, so as of now, we're on trial with Lazeez. So it's not going to be like every single location. There's a location mm-hmm. close to my house mm-hmm. In Brampton on Beauvais and Airport Road. Pretty much one of my buddies, my close buddies, he works at that Lazy's mm-hmm. and he's like in touch with the owner. So I told him, I was like, you know, well, you know, get, you know, like, let me talk to the owner, right? Like, talk to this guy for me. And he did. So the owner was interested. And that was enough for me to, you know, invest a little bit of money and show him the whole process. Mm-hmm. But I told him, I was like, you know, we'll even get the canned drinks for free. We'll put the canned drinks there. Like, I'll pay for that myself. And I will actually pay for everything for the first month. I just want to show you that, you know, we can help your business a lot. Because mm-hmm. that same owner owns like 20 different diseases.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, it doesn't even matter for me. I can put in a bunch of money and it won't matter to me because I'm just trying to build this connection, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so he was interested and like, then I got to designing and I got to putting this stuff in place. So right now we're just training the staff so that they can deal with the email, with the promos and everything when customers come in. And once mm-hmm. that's done, we'll be up and running.
That's so sick.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man, bro.
That's awesome, brother. So, wow. I'm just trying to think, like, that's incredible. So do you have a vision of where you see Phaeton Consulting going from here?
So I've worked in the restaurant industry myself since I was 16 years old. I started working in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know what? Like, I know restaurants in and out. I see the profit margins. I would mm-hmm. love to do this. I would love to take the route and go into the SMS marketing because it's more niche than it is than the email marketing stuff is for the e-commerce brand.
Yeah.
SMS marketing for restaurants is a lot more niche. So I was like, you know what? I'll take this route. And right now, like, I focus less on the email marketing aspect of this stuff. Like, I have mm-hmm. my clients and I still do it for them. But right now I'm targeting these restaurants, man. So I want to really, by the end of the summer, I want to land like a good, like solid 10, 15 restaurants that I run their SMS for.
I'm waiting to see it. Are you putting your brand anywhere, your logo? Or is it kind of just all behind the scenes?
Well, this one, for this table tent, I'm just going to keep it like just for the restaurant itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking of, so right, you know, just today I created a funnel for SMS marketing and it's pretty much like the whole process, but it shows like it's for an owner to see how it'll impact their business. So it's not the traditional like, oh, you know, you get your coupon and everything. It's like an example of everything. So I'm going to make an Instagram post about that soon. And you just text a keyword to a number mm-hmm. and it just puts you through the process.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
So that's like a almost like a trial run of what it could be.
Yeah. So it's just to show owners what they're signing up for or if they're interested, trying to just get them to be interested. So I go to restaurants often.
Yeah.
And like just the other day, I went to one of these restaurants, Mr. Puff's. You might have heard mm-hmm. of it. And like their food was sick. Like the dessert was amazing. So the owner was there. I could tell she was the owner just by the way she was working.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, like this is what I do. I do SMS marketing for restaurants and I can do this for you. And, you know, she was interested. Like she hasn't got back to me, but she was interested.
All due time. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I feel like now that I made this funnel, I can just go to a restaurant. I could be like, you know, just text this to this number and it'll put you through the process yourself. I don't even have to do any explaining. It's like a visual for them to understand.
That's powerful right there. Being able to show them tangible, like a product. That's incredible.
That's what you got to really do. You got to set yourself apart from everyone else.
That's right. And that's what I was actually just about to ask. Firstly, I was going to say, like, I don't know if anyone's told you this, but you have a really good energy. Like your vibe, that's good right there. And that already, I hope can carry you so far. Because just getting that good vibe, that first impression will get you your foot in the door.
Thank you.
Yeah, bro, of course. But so what I was going to ask is, What is your niche? Like, what do you feel sets Phaeton Consulting apart?
What sets Phaeton Consulting apart is this SMS marketing stuff. And honestly, mm-hmm. like I'm a developer, right? So mm-hmm. I understand the technical aspect of things. And I've been working in a restaurant since I was 16 years old. So, and that was at Toronto Pearson Airport as well. So I've seen people from all ends of the world and I've talked to so many people while I've been working there. And I just understand how to speak with people.
Yeah.
And I understand I can do the technical aspect of things as well. So I feel like with me running this business, I think I can do well. I hope so.
Inshallah. That's awesome. Yeah, brother. I hope you can too. Is it just you? Is it
for, for now, it's just me. Yeah.
Whoa. So you're like, you're doing everything.
I'm doing everything myself.
Wow. That, I mean, with this podcast, I'm also doing everything myself. So I can only imagine how much that must be for you as one person.
So I wanted to ask you, for your podcast, like, what was the most difficult thing for you to get started?
Honestly, the most difficult thing, great question, and thank you for asking that. But the hardest thing was honestly just finding the motivation to start. Because I feel like for me, in the podcasting space, what I've seen is that really it's just consistency is key. And I feel like in any time you're trying to start a business or a brand or an idea, being consistent is the most important thing. For me, the hardest thing was like finding a way to sustainably post content on Instagram, LinkedIn, and make these episodes basically to get them out as quickly as possible so that if people come and look at my podcast, it's not like I just have two episodes and they click right off. I want to have like a dozen episodes so then people can listen a bunch and get hooked on it.
Yeah. Bro, you're doing well, man. Honestly, like in terms of posting on social media, you're doing better than me because I can't keep up with all that. You post like frequently and it's sick to see, man. There's you're getting a lot of people on your podcast, a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And it's wicked what you're doing, bro.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. I think honestly, I will say the easiest thing to do is use stories. That's like the easiest way to post something and just stay relevant in people's heads.
Stories?
Yeah, stories. And then for reach, because I've been trying to reach as many people on, I use all 30 hashtags on the Instagram post.
Yeah.
Most important thing, easiest way to get like 100, 200 people to find your posts.
Hashtags.
Okay. Yeah. The most popular ones, like for whatever I'm talking about, like for us, it'll be, I don't know, hashtag computer science, hashtag student life, stuff like that. Whatever has millions of posts. And that just gets people to see your content and learn about your brand.
I guess a lot more impressions that way, for sure, bro.
Yeah. So starting your own business, what is your absolute favorite thing of having your own business and being an entrepreneur?
What made me want to start my own business was one thing was my friend who was already doing it. He was running it up and he dropped out of uni like as soon as
he dropped out of uni. Whoa.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, you know what? That's pretty wicked. And another thing that, it was the job process, bro. Like as a computer science major, there are so many other computer science majors like trying to apply to the same internships that I'm applying at. And bro, honestly, like going on LinkedIn, messaging people and just like I'm a pretty introverted person, I feel like. And going out of my way to do all of that to get an internship, I feel like if I just put that time and effort into a business of my own that I love to do, it would be worthwhile. It would be a lot more worthwhile.
I totally get that. Yeah, I was like before I started the co-op program at Ryerson or TMU, which is where I'm at. I would be on Reddit and I would see people posting their co-op journeys, and they're like they have 400 applications, 3 interviews, and 1 offer. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yeah,
400 job, what's the word? Applications? That is absurd. So, I think that those people were CompSci students. Because I thankfully haven't had that experience, but a lot of my friends are in CompSci, like UFT, and it's how they share their stories about how much effort they have to put in to even get an interview is insane.
Bro, it's ridiculous, bro. But now that I've done a little bit of digital marketing and stuff, I feel I don't have to go to the traditional computer science route.
Yeah.
I have a lot more job options for even if I do want to intern eventually. Get into the professional job market like that, I can intern as a pretty experienced digital marketer.
Yeah, that's 100%. Like you have that under your belt. That's really good too. But so with starting up your own business, what's been the most unexpected benefit that you've seen?
The most unexpected benefit
is
definitely the sales aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
Before this, I had no experience with sales. And then all of a sudden, I just threw myself into the whole world of sales. And with the world of sales, you know, the sales world is tough, bro. It's tough. Good salesmen are hard to come by. And being a good salesman comes with being a good communicator, being able to understand what the person you're talking to wants out of you. And I feel like that is the biggest benefit of the business so far, learning the sales aspect of things.
That's awesome. Have you had any situations that have been kind of a learning experience for you, especially with sales? And
bro, I fumbled so many bags, bro. Fumbled so many bags over these last few months, man. And that's just like not selling properly. If I had a better selling script, I would have probably landed a few more bigger bags, right? And it's okay, you know, you win some, you lose some, but it definitely taught me a lot and it helped me fix up my sales script a little bit.
Yeah. Do you feel comfortable sharing a few of those stories?
Bro, okay, so I was talking to this one guy just the other day and he was doing like $10,000 days on Shopify.
Wow.
$10,000 days on Shopify. As an email marketer, I make the client revenue between 20 and 35% of their total revenue.
That's what you make.
That's what I make their business. And then I take a percentage of that.
Okay.
That's my cut. So this guy was making $10,000 days and he was interested in my services. So I was just like, okay, you know what? Like I take a cut and I would go for a 20% cut usually right off the bat from email revenue. So the email revenue that I make, 20% of that. Mm-hmm. And for this guy, I was like, you know what? I'll do 15% for you. And then he didn't reply back to me for a while. And once he did, he was just like, would you do a monthly fee? And honestly, like I would do a monthly fee, but I was trying to get this guy on a revenue share
because he had
so much money that I just wanted a revenue share because I knew that I would make a lot more money that way. Mm-hmm. And I told him I went from 15%. I was like, you know what, bro, for you, I'll do 10%. And the guy blocked me after. He was like, you know what? He was like, if you kept at 15%, I would have probably probably done business with you, but the fact that you went to 10% is showing me that, you know, you don't value your business like this and that. And you're just talking a bunch of bullshit. And I was just like, bro, you know what, man? All right, bro. And I was so upset, man. It would have been huge, bro. But that was the biggest learning experience for me.
And how do you take these experiences? Because for me, I've always taken moments like that where something doesn't work out when I've wanted it to as kind of like, it's just not meant to be. You know, and it's like, I'll be where I need to be as long as I'm putting in the effort. So I wonder how you see it and your perspective of that.
That one I saw as a bag fumble. And I was just like, you know what? I messed up. But it's okay. Like, you win some and you lose some. So it's all part of the process, man. That guy didn't want my business. It's his loss. I know the quality that my work is. Mm-hmm. I come with like 100%. And I bring everything to the table. And I would have ran it up for him. But, you know, he didn't want that. So it's okay. It's his loss. Yeah. But it's not my loss. It's both of our losses, but his loss as well. So it could have been worse, man.
I think it's interesting where it's like, I mean, I've never sold my own services or products. But I know that a very common thing is to kind of offer lower prices or you charge less to kind of make it a more appealing offer. But it was so interesting that his reaction was like, no, you don't value your services enough. I don't want it. Yeah. But it's like you're offering it for cheaper.
Yeah, that it was kind of. It's. I mean, 5% and 10% difference is pretty big when someone's making like $10,000 right a day. Mm-hmm. He would have to pay me a lot more. So I was just like, you know, I want this client, and I'll do him a even bigger favor, and I'll make it cheaper, make my services cheaper. You know, I'm still making money. It's okay, and he just didn't appreciate that. So
it's interesting.
That is interesting. Even that caught me by surprise, right?
Yeah.
It's okay.
I wonder if it's like, do you ever see like maybe like moving forward if you're in a similar situation that you'll think back to this moment and just keep your prices the same, or has your strategy changed at all?
100. Okay. What I did wrong was he didn't try to negotiate with me. Like he negotiated with me by asking me if I was willing to take a monthly fee, right? Like a monthly fee, the same amount. Mm-hmm. And like, I guess it was kind of greedy too of me, man. I could have taken that monthly fee and it would have been revenue, but yeah. So most definitely next time if I'm trying to pitch to a client like that, I'm going to stick with my original price. And if he says something like a monthly fee, then I might adjust it accordingly. I might just do a monthly fee instead of being greedy. I was being greedy. I was being greedy. So yeah, I'm definitely not going to do that again.
That's good. These moments of self-reflection is so crucial, though, especially for a small business owner. So it's good that like we learn from it.
Yeah, bro, that was a huge learning opportunity, man. Like, now thinking back to it, bro, it's just like,
get out. Don't even worry about it. I didn't mean to bring it back like that. So I do wonder, this might be a bit of a difficult question to answer, but I want to know, how do you value success?
success for me would be doing the least amount of work myself and making money. Making money doing it. As of now, I know for the business, you always have to, in the first few years of your business, you're going to have to do 8-hour days, 10-hour days, you know? And I get that I'm in that stage right now, and it's okay. And I don't mind it at all, because you always have to start somewhere. And without and honestly, bro, like without a struggle, nothing ever comes. You have to give some to get some. And I know these few years there is going to be like that, but I hope in the coming years, when everything is like, I have it a little bit more automated and I have more time for myself, and while I'm still making money, like that's how I would measure success.
That's cool. That's interesting. I think it's a really good perspective. I mean, I think I was talking yesterday with someone else who's a small business owner and asked her the same question. How does she value success? And it's interesting to hear people's responses to it, especially small business owners. Because I feel like what you're doing in the tech space and what she was doing in like the physical like clothing space, you guys are what we need to support, you know? So I think it's awesome that you have that mindset. And yeah, I wonder, do you have a different perspective on success when it comes to like personal as opposed to professional?
Bro, personally, man, like I just want to be successful so I can retire my mom. That's like my number one goal. Once I get enough to do that, I will do it. Like that's the first thing I will do. And once I do that, then I'll know, you know, that's a huge success that I've accomplished a lot. If I can retire my mom, that's my first goal.
I love it.
Yeah, bro. That's just the big thing right now that I'm working for.
That's amazing. I wish you all the best of luck with that. I mean, that's truly an awesome goal.
I appreciate it, bro. You know, our parents do so. And coming from an immigrant family, my parents came here with like nothing. Mm-hmm. My mom had me when she was like 18 years old.
Really?
Yeah, so she had me really young. They got married young, and you know, Pakistani culture is they get married younger. It's a little bit different, but my mom had me very young, and you know, she's been working to support me for like her whole life, pretty much since she came to Canada. And the least I can do is just return the favor with all this money that they've been spending on my education and everything they've spent on me their whole lives. Like, why wouldn't I retire her? You know,
that's yeah, the
thing that I got to do.
Yeah, just do what you can to give back. Right, that's what it's all about.
That's what it is.
I mean, that's what a fantastic segue into the next part of this podcast, which is talking about family. So, I mean, for myself, I'm a first generation Canadian, but my parents immigrated here. And I grew up in, maybe our definitions of strict may be different, but I feel like a school was a very big focus and that was like a very big priority. So I wonder for you, how was it coming? Sorry, before that, did you come to Canada or were you born?
No, I was born. I'm first generation Canadian as well.
Okay. So
I was born in Canada. My parents came before, and I'm the eldest sibling of four.
So wow. I have
three younger siblings, and for me, the pressure was on from the beginning, bro. Like my dad was like back home. He was he was very well educated back home, and he understood like he knew math from. Like to a university level when I was a kid. So when I was a kid, we used to have math lessons with my dad every single day, bro. Every day we were sitting there doing algebra and stuff. And by the time I was in like grade 6, grade 7, I was able to do like divide polynomials by polynomials. Like my dad taught me everything when I was still a little kid. Because in Pakistan, they teach little kids like grade 6, 7 kids. They teach them like grade 12 university math over here.
Wow.
That's the difference in the education systems. So my dad was thinking about that education system when he was teaching me. So at first when he was just like, yeah, like divide this polynomial by this polynomial when I was in like a grade 7, when I was in grade 7, I was like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, what is this, right? And like he was just teaching me. So it was hours and hours of work. So my entire life was very like academic. And growing up, like I played a lot of sports too. I played varsity basketball for 4 years in high school.
Whoa.
Yeah, I played varsity ball hockey for 4 years. I was the captain of the ball hockey team in grade 12. And like volleyball, I played varsity for 4 years as well. I played football. I played a bunch of sports. So my life was just a student athlete life. And it was just, I just focused on school and I focused on my studies.
Wow. Oh, man. I wish I could join that basketball team, man. I tried all 4 years of high school. I never made it.
Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be on my Michael Jordan grind. cut from the high school team, be great. That didn't happen. But being like a student athlete, do you think that, you know, having all these responsibilities and having to be a leader, I'm sure in many scenarios as you're a captain, do you think that that's had an effect on who you are today?
I think most definitely has had an effect on who I am today, because now I feel like you need a competitive spirit to be successful mm-hmm. in this world, right? Because mm-hmm. competition is everywhere. And from the early stages of my life, I've been competing in sports. So mm-hmm. I've always been a competitive person, and I bring that to my work and I bring that to everyday life. And that's benefited me a lot. And overall, bro, like sports is just amazing, because, you know, you can, even if you're like, you can just get your mind away from everything and you're just focusing on what you're doing at. And I just love it, bro. Like, mm-hmm. it's just a very fun, healthy way to get away.
Yeah. What's your favorite sport out of the three?
Basketball.
Sure. Yeah. What position do you play?
So in high school, when I was a junior, I was a lanky kid and I had hops. So they put mm-hmm. me as a power forward.
Oh,
and then
okay.
when I was in like as a senior, I started playing shooting guard and small forward.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have any stats? Were you what was your main role?
So, bro, my main role was I was just athletic. I was mm-hmm. I didn't really have a shot like that. I didn't have handles like that. I could do that, but I was diving for loose balls. I was going for offensive rebounds. I was guarding the best player on the other team. I was like one of the defensive guys, you know.
Yeah, you were pulling a Dennis Rodman, a little Pat Bev.
Bring the energy. That's what I was doing, because I didn't have like the skills, like, you know, I didn't have the hezzy and stuff like that. But you can make up for it always. Even when I tell my boys, like, we're going to play ball runs, like, man, I don't want to play. Like, I'm not that good. I'm like, well, you can make up for it. Just, you know, bring the energy. That's it. That's all you gotta bring. I was telling you to score every bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was doing on the basketball team. That was my role.
Dude, having that player on a team for any sport or any like team, sports or not, is so important.
Bro, I love having a player like that on my team, bro.
Yeah, you were that player.
I was that player, but you know, in high school, it was a lot more competitive, right? So mm-hmm. now I go to my university and I play the basketball runs there. Like, I'll be shooting. I'm still, like, I'll be shooting. I can do everything better than most people there on those courts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my roles changed because the competition levels changed.
Yeah.
And having someone who, you know, hustles for rebounds and stuff like that, it's like, you know, that's all I need. I don't need you to, I don't want you to score. It doesn't even matter if you can score. You don't have to make a layup.
Yeah.
Energy, that's good enough, bro.
Have you ever thought about doing coaching? Super random question.
Coaching, my little brothers, I coach them all the time. I show them how to play and stuff. But like, coaching would be fun, but I don't think I can. I don't think I could deal with the little kids for that long. Man. I get kind of annoyed. I get frustrated.
I get that. Yeah, I fully get that. I don't know what. Going back to what you're saying about how you did math with your dad as a kid, I used to do the same thing. And for me, that was such a stressful experience, because I get it. Like, you know, he's teaching me how to do math and I love him to death, but he was teaching me how to do this math and I had no idea. And if I didn't get it, you know, relatively quickly, you start getting a little more frustrated, a little more angry. And I remember there was times when I'd just be crying, bawling my eyes out. And I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Bro, you know what? There's that. And then there's also that they don't really like, it's frustrating teaching as well. Like, if you mm-hmm. try teaching now, it's frustrating when, you know, for you, it's so simple, but for the person you're teaching, they don't understand anything. So it's frustrating. And as a kid trying to learn it, it's just like, oh my God, I'd rather be playing video games or going outside.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? It's, you know, no one really, like, bro, honestly, man, I'll say this, like, I don't enjoy studying and stuff like that. I just mm-hmm. do it because I have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, the courses that I do like, but those courses have been long gone, bro. Now it's just like, tough courses. So yeah, it's I cry sometimes even nowadays, man.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's good. And I remember for the longest time, like I was doing these questions, I do this homework and everything. I wouldn't like let myself cry. I'm just like, I just gotta get through it.
Yeah.
But now I let the waterworks flow sometimes, you know?
Sometimes you just gotta let it out and then get back to work, bro.
That's right. That's really cool. I think it's such a cool like story that you have. So I'm hearing about it. Like, I'm on the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
I think it's really awesome. Have you found any, or have you ever found yourself falling into that, like, what's the word? that hustle culture with having your own business and just kind of going all in and not having that healthy balance?
Yeah. When I started this stuff in September, bro, I'm telling you, like, as soon as I started landing clients and I started making money, for me, it was just like, bro, school, whatever, man. I don't really care about this. So I was loafing a lot in terms of school for even this year. And my marks suffered. I suffered from it first in terms of school. My business was doing better. But yeah, man, it's hard. It's hard balancing both of them, most definitely.
Yeah. I wonder what that, even like with your, what about with your health? Because something that I talk about a lot here is mental health. So I'm wondering for you, yeah. Did you ever find any, I guess, issues or situations with that?
Mental health issues are very common nowadays. Like, I see people struggling a lot with mental health. But personally, like, I found things that I've enjoyed that can make me forget about, you know, the stress, the anxiety and everything. And one of those things is playing sports, right? So I'm always in the gym. Like, I work out every day. And I'm playing basketball when I'm not working out. So if you like, I balance the fun with the work, and I think that is really beneficial for my mental health.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really good. I'm really happy you found that.
What do you do to balance your mental health? Like, I know it gets stressful with school and work. Yeah. What do you do to you know, lay back and chill?
You know what? For the longest time, I didn't even like let myself chill. I felt guilty if I wasn't doing work.
Yeah.
But so now I kind of like, I try to do a little, like a lot more meditation, yoga, stuff like that. And just kind of like give myself permission to do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, sometimes you just got to sit back, watch some Rick and Morty and just chill, man. That's just
You're a Rick and Morty fan?
I just started watching it. My friends showed me a few episodes, and it was a sick show. So I've been watching it. Like, now at nighttime, I'll watch like a one episode before I go sleep. And it's just nice to lay back and chill, man. I don't know how people don't have that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you need it.
100%. Having that time, that space, or that even that show just to like turn your brain off. Yeah. It's so important, especially as students. And again, like for you as a business owner, I can imagine like having that space that just keeps you going for longer in the long run. But so how do you feel that Rick and Morty, the one of the creators, just got arrested and fired?
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, one of the main guys, he I don't know what the details of it, but I think I heard that there's some issues with like the next season.
Damn, that's unfortunate, because I was probably gonna run through those seasons soon, man. Now that my exams are coming to an end, I was probably gonna run through those seasons, so that's unfortunate. But what shows have you been watching like lately?
Oh, you know what, I don't even know. Let me think for a second, because I'm a creature of habit, so I'll rewatch the same shows over and over again until I find something. So I just finished watching Outer Banks with my girlfriend. Way.
Yeah. No way. So I'm on season 3 of Outer Banks, season 3, episode 1.
Season 3. Okay. What were your thoughts on season 2?
Season 2 was sick, bro.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, bro. Like when the ship exploded and everything. Oh my god.
That was crazy.
That was crazy.
It was just
plot twist after plot twist, and that season was really good. That's what I loved about that show. It was just like you can never understand what was really happening. They just kept switching it up on you, and it just kept me intrigued.
I will say season 3, I won't spoil it, of course, but you're going to, if you liked the plot twist and everything, I think you're going to really like season 3.
You think season 3 is better than season 2?
I think season 2 might be a hot take, but I think it was the worst season out of all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't deal with it, just because the characters, like, they were so, like, the kids were kind of dumb at times. Like, they would do something that would just make everything worse, just as they were about to emerge victorious in the episode.
That makes me think about when JJ robbed the ambulance. You know, when he robbed it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, man. Or was it in the second season where Key, like, they're at the Cameron residence and she pokes her head over the fence and yells murder?
Oh, bro. I was screaming when she was like, oh my. I couldn't even understand what she was doing there, man. That was the worst, bro.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you're just messing yourself up.
Yeah. I don't know. I would never do something like that on a mission, bro. She folded under pressure.
That's what I'm saying. So that to me was why the season wasn't that good. But overall, it was solid.
It was solid.
Yeah.
It was the first, Outer Banks was the first show I watched in a while because like I didn't really watch any shows for a really long time, but I heard good things about it, so I said, you know what, let's watch it, and it was worth it for sure.
It's good stuff, yeah. What I'm trying to start now is I'm trying to start The Last of Us.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you watched it.
I watched a few episodes of it, but I just haven't kept up.
I've heard so many good things about it, but it's like it's an emotional commitment.
Yeah.
Like that's like a masterpiece in a show from what I've heard, and I've only watched the first episode, but like I feel like I have to be like committed and ready to give my 100% of my attention.
I think it's rated like a 9.5 on IMDb or something like that. It's very highly rated. Like it's
supposed to be a really good
show. Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations for shows? Because I'm looking for stuff to watch.
Okay, so I'd say my favorite show I've ever watched. I have three shows that I would recommend to you.
Okay.
The first one is Prison Break.
Oh, yeah.
You watched it?
Finished it. It's on the new season too, or like the newest one.
Yeah, so that was like classic show. That was amazing. So I watched that back in like the sixth or seventh grade.
Me too.
There's a show, Billions. And it's about this hedge fund owner, Bobby Axelrod. That show is amazing, bro. Like, I told my boys to watch it. They didn't really like it. But personally, I love that show. And it's like, it's amazing. It just shows the life of like a billionaire hedge fund owner and the things that he does to get sick. It's just a sick show. And Power. Do you know Power?
Is it on Netflix? I don't know. I've heard of it.
It's on Crave. And it's pretty much about this... So it's about this drug dealer in New York City, and he's like the big drug dealer. He's like a huge drug dealer in New York City, and pretty much what he does is he washes his money with a nightclub.
Okay. So
he's a nightclub owner, and he's a big drug dealer, and he's just trying to transition from being a drug dealer to being a nightclub owner.
Oh, trying to leave the world?
Yeah. So it's like a show about all of that. I'd say watch Power first. If you're interested in stuff like that, Power is an amazing show.
That sounds really cool. Is it like a slow burning kind of show?
There's a lot of action though. Like the storyline is like it builds, but there's like continuous action as it's building.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Random question. I don't know. I'm getting the vibe that you're a Marvel kind of guy.
Yeah.
MCU, come on. Good man. Yeah.
Marvel is amazing, bro. What's your favorite superhero? Who's your favorite superhero?
Spider-Man, 100%. Yeah, that's easy right there.
Spider-Man's a G for sure. I was a huge X-Men fan back when I was in, when I was a younger kid. I used to love the X-Men. Mm-hmm. So I love Wolverine. Wolverine's probably up there for me. And Shang-Chi, bro. Like that Shang-Chi movie, that was a sick movie, bro. That's why I love Shang-Chi as well.
That was the next level, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, seeing the actor, I can't pronounce his name right, I don't think, but like Simu Liu, seeing him, dude, I don't know. I think it was so badass, especially the final fight with the dragons.
Yeah. That was even the bus scene, the bus fight scene.
So nice.
So nice. That was amazing. That was an amazing movie.
But something I like to ask all my Marvel fan friends and people like it, what do you think about the new phase? Like, after Endgame and after Spider-Man, whatever it was, No Way Home, how do you think those movies and shows have progressed? Because I think it's like in the shitter. Yeah.
Okay. I watched the last Marvel movie I watched was the newest Ant-Man one.
Okay.
And that one was trash.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that one was pretty trash. I can't lie. So like, I see Marvel's falling off a little bit. And I also watched the newest Black Panther movie, and that one was pretty bad too. So it's clearly on a decline, bro.
Yeah. It's upsetting though. Like, Marvel was such a big part of my childhood. And like, I used to get so excited about every movie, every trailer. I'd watch it on launch day in the theaters. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's just not hitting the same.
It's falling off a little bit. They need that one huge movie to come and just change our perspective again. I feel like recency bias is a big thing too. They drop a few shit movies, everyone, you know, you just start falling off a little bit, and then they drop a banger, and we're just going to be back on the wave.
Honestly, yeah. But, like, I feel like people are trying to, like, Endgame and that whole thing was so, like, one of a kind, you know? Like, 10 years of movies, and I feel like people are expecting them to do it again. And maybe they are, but like, I don't know how you can top Endgame.
Yeah, Endgame was, I remember the Endgame was the one movie that I watched in the movie theaters where everyone was like, they were cheering and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That scene, you know, it was a different type of movie experience for sure. But how do you beat Endgame? I don't know, man. What character is still fun to watch in Marvel?
Honestly, like, not many of them.
Yeah. I think maybe the next Shang-Chi movie might be interesting.
Are they making another one?
I think they are making another one.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Because, yeah, I don't know. It's tough. Like, I know so many of my friends feel the same way, where it's just like, it's all kind of garbage. Mm-hmm. All the movies, all the shows. It's just, they're doing too much too quick.
It's not the same as it used to be. No.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, okay, I have one last question. This is so random. It has to do with Lazy's, because I love Lazy's.
Yeah.
What's your go-to order?
Half and half. Chicken half and half.
Half and half?
Yeah. Get layered garlic. So they put garlic sauce on the fries and the rice, and then they put the regular garlic sauce on top of the chicken as well.
Nice.
Bro, like, Lazy's is a university meal, because, like, you can make it stretch for, like, the whole day.
You can.
I was like, yo, no, I'm always on Lazy's pretty much.
You fully can.
You can make a stretch, bro. That's why I get Lazy's so often, but large chicken half and half. What's your go-to order?
Honestly, I always get chicken on the rocks.
Yeah.
Chicken on the rocks. I do all the sauces,
mm-hmm.
and just that's it. I just obliterate that, and then I get a little mango drink on the side.
The mango drinks are
it's gas.
They're always a hit for sure. My boy who works at Lazy's, so he works at the Lazy's that's close to my house,
mm-hmm.
bro. Like, he knows the ins and outs of that place. So whenever he makes my food, like he makes it perfectly. Like,
how he knows he
how to, himself, right?
He knows how to serve the customer right there.
Yeah. So he makes it for, like, how he'd make it himself, and it's just so good, man.
I'm getting hungry now for it.
I haven't even eaten all day, bro. I've been fasting. I'm gonna munch later on.
So how does it work, the fasting? Because I'm Jewish. I'm not mm-hmm. familiar. So how does it work? That might be a silly question.
So pretty much the fasting is like, think about it as if the sun is up, then you're
mm-hmm.
fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So once it's sundown, and I think today's sundown is like 7:50, mm-hmm. like close to 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So once the sun sets, then you're free to eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want until sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
So sunrise today was at like 5:20 in the morning, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what happens is I'll wake up at like 4:45, 5 a.m. and I'll mm-hmm. eat something quickly because there's no appetite at that time.
Yeah.
So I'll eat a little snack and I'll pray and I'll go back to sleep. By the time I wake up, the fast is in full effect. So there's no eating until sunset. So that's the way it works.
And so this is, how long is this for in total?
This is for a whole month. So it's like about 30 days.
Wow. And so during that time while you're fasting, you're still going to the gym and doing all that?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know, the gym is tough, bro. Mm-hmm. It actually is. Like, I don't try to go for PRs or anything during this month.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep it simple. So I'm not as tired as well. But bro, like, honestly, I've been taking this. It's Tonkat Ali, and I heard about it on one of Joe Rogan's podcasts, and there was like this PhD guy who came and he talked about it, and I'm telling you, ever since I started taking this, like, I started taking this during Ramadan,
mm-hmm.
and bro, like, I feel so energized when I work out. I don't need water like that like I used to, and it helps a lot, bro. So with thanks to this, I've been able to work out a lot easier, and it's a lot easier for me to work mm-hmm. out, right, like nowadays, right? But playing ball is tough, bro.
So what is that? The Tonkat Ali, you said?
Tonkat Ali, yeah. So it's just like a natural, like, testosterone booster, I guess. And it gives you energy, boosts your testosterone. Okay. Like, I read this stat saying, like, nowadays men are like down 50% in terms of testosterone.
Whoa.
What they used to be like.
Why is that?
I guess it's just the shit that we eat, bro.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So all the fast food, processed.
All processed garbage, like, you know?
Yeah.
I was just like, you know, I'll take a try. I'll see what it's about. And
so
it's helped, bro.
Wow. So during fasting, you're able to take supplements and everything, so that's okay?
I own not So while you're fasting, you can't do anything. You can't you can't drink, you can't eat. Mm-hmm. So when my fast is done at nighttime, I'll take one of these.
I see. Okay. I got you. Oh.
But bro, you should try fasting one day just to test yourself, man. It's honestly not that hard. You mm-hmm. would think that it was very hard because you're not eating for like a majority of your day, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's the water that's the hard part. The food doesn't even faze you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, so, and I forget what, oh my God, this makes me such a bad Jew, but there's a specific period where you fast for, I think, only a day, mm-hmm. like 24 full hours. Mm-hmm. And it's like the biggest thing for me is just like I notice it's mind over matter.
Yeah.
And it's just reminding yourself that it's like you're strong enough, you have the mental strength and fortitude to not eat because you know you don't have to.
Yeah. Bro, when I complain to my dad sometimes, like out of Ramadan that I'm hungry, he'd be like, bro, like why are you complaining to me? You used to stay the whole day without eating during Ramadan and now you're complaining? It's true though, like there's kids around like I always think about like Ramadan as a period to put myself in the shoes of others that you know they're not as they don't have as much as me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of kids in this world, you know, they don't even get meals like that, so I'm sure like me as a grown man who's healthy, I can go a whole day without eating, bro.
Yeah.
These little kids do it for like days at a time.
Yeah That's a really like unique perspective that I've heard. I think it's really profound and really true, honestly.
It's the truth, bro. The truth hurts, but the truth is the truth, man.
Yeah. Something that I tried, I mean, this was so many years ago, and it's not like a one-to-one comparison whatsoever, but I did cold showers for 30 days.
Yeah.
And it was hard. Like, it's that mental wall of not wanting to go in the water was so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it where it was like, you know, when the heater goes out and you're forced to take hot cold showers for a few days?
Yeah.
And it feels like the world's like crashing under you and you're like, everything's out to get you. It's awful. But as soon as you decide to do it out of your own choice and like you're making the mental decision to do it, it mm-hmm. becomes a lot easier.
That's true, bro. I never thought about that. I never did.
Yeah.
So you still taking those cold showers?
Absolutely not. Oh, no way.
No way, bro. I cannot do that, man.
I can do it like once in a month if I'm feeling crazy.
Yeah, I know. If it's like a hot day, I'll be like, okay, you know what? I'll take a cold shower today. But
otherwise,
no way, man.
No. Warm showers, hot showers. That's it. 100%.
I steam up the shower. Would you ever do a polar plunge?
Like, is that just an ice bath or where you actually go into like ice cold water?
Ice, when you break the ice and you hop in.
I've seen that on TikTok a lot and on the internet. I want to try it.
You would do it?
I'll do it once. I always say I'll try anything once.
Yeah, that's a good little thing to have. But I don't think I would do it, bro. That looks like that's tough, bro.
That's like just inflicting pain upon yourself.
Yeah, I've seen Joe Rogan do it like a bunch of times, and it's just like I've done ice baths in the past, but that's like mm-hmm. just to recover so I can play the next day. Like,
mm-hmm.
but to voluntarily do it like that, I don't know, man. Especially that water is going to be way colder than anything I've ever been in.
Yeah. You know what? Do you know Wim Hof, the Iceman?
Iceman?
Iceman, yeah.
X-Men?
No. He's a real person. And so his whole thing is he's learned how to control his breathing in such a way that he doesn't get cold in like below zero water. He doesn't get hypothermia. He did a thing apparently where like years ago where scientists like injected him with some disease, and through his breathing technique, he fought off the disease. I'm like, what? But so his breathing technique, like anybody can do it, and it allows you to control your body's reaction to freezing cold temperatures. So you can take an ice bath. You can go and push your body to the limits.
What is the technique? Do you know?
I honestly, there's video. He posts videos of it online of like follow along with the breathing technique. I've never done it, but it's like maybe 10, 15 minutes of pretty much like slowing your heart rate all the way down and becoming super in tune with your body with and being really present.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep that up throughout the entire ice plunge.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look into that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I want to try it because I don't know if I believe it.
Yeah.
But yeah, something cool. Just think about
it. Have you ever felt carsick? And like I felt car sick before, and what I usually do is if I feel car sick, I'll sit back, close my eyes, and I'll just breathe, like take deep breaths, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always feel better, and I'll never actually like throw up in the car if I just do
nice. That.
So I guess it'll probably work, bro.
Yeah, I honestly get car sick a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, I don't know about you, but for me, whenever I close my eyes, it gets a lot worse. Like, I feel like I can feel the whole movement of the car in my body.
Oh.
But so I feel like maybe with that deep breathing, that might be a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just breathe. You just focus on the breathing and then you forget about what you're feeling. That's how I feel. Like,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Very cool. But yeah, so something I like to do for the final question.
Okay.
And I want you to prepare yourself for this.
Okay.
And it's that I flip it onto you and I ask you if you have any questions for me about anything we talked about here or beyond. Or anything. Beyond. Yeah.
Okay. So you are currently, what are you studying in school, David?
I'm studying marketing at Toronto Met.
At Toronto Metropolitan University,
TMU. Yes, sir. TMU, that's right.
Yeah, bro. So, okay. So, in terms of your marketing, like, okay, you've done marketing. You're in, like, your senior years now, right?
Senior is, yeah, upper years. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So pretty much, in terms of my business, what would you do if you had my business? Like, what approach would you bring?
Great question. I'll offer some consulting advice here.
Yeah, let's go.
I'll pull up. Let me check on your website and everything here. I'll pull it up super quick.
Okay, no worries, bro. I have time, bro.
Yeah, that's a really good question, though. I appreciate you asking for
my thoughts. You're a marketing major, bro. I'm not even a marketing major. You probably know better than me, man.
let's see. So I think.
No, okay, I'll make it more specific for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm targeting e-commerce stores and restaurants. Like, what niche do you think you would do the best in?
Honestly, I feel like in a tech space, when you're a consulting agency,
mm-hmm.
especially starting out, I feel like your best bet, and this is just in my own knowledge, is to be as diverse as you can be. So finding a niche is great if you can find it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think the piece of advice I would give is look at what you're knowledgeable in. So if that's restaurants, because you have experience, make that your primary niche.
Okay.
And use your existing network of people, because if you've talked to people, I'm sure you know managers, other waiters, waitresses, hostesses, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and use that to your advantage.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be your best bet. And so like how you talk with your friend who worked at Lazeez.
Yeah, yeah.
You can try and replicate that with other people that you've worked with in the past or currently are working with. Well, and because you already have...
I'll go on. Finish what you're saying. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, but because you have that knowledge already, that's going to give you a selling point when you're talking to other restaurants or other businesses. Be like, I've been in this industry for X amount of years. And you have that knowledge. And two, it's going to give you a place to start that's above level zero, because you already have knowledge, you already have that network, and that's going to be. And after that, like once you make a name for yourself there, then you can branch out into smaller, more niche areas. But at least now, that would be what you should do.
Bro, it's crazy you said that, because when I was just starting off in my business, like the first while I started outreach to random people that I didn't know,
mm-hmm.
Then I took like a step back and I realized like, you know, which people do I know that run some stores? And there was mm-hmm. like a friend of mine, and we've grown up together pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
She has like an actual brand, and I reached out to her and I was like, you know, like I can do this for you, email marketing, like I won't even take any money. And at first
mm-hmm.
she was just like, yeah, like let's see what you can do. And with that, I was able to make case studies and, you know, show my work to others so that I could actually build my client portfolio. So mm-hmm. I started, like, that's very good advice that you give, because you got to start with, you know, someone who's going to trust you, because no random person is just going to trust you like that. They need some proof of work. So when I was starting off with no proof of work, I went for the people that I already knew that would trust me a little bit more than someone who wouldn't know me as much, you know?
Absolutely. And I will say two more things that I thought of now. The first thing is with social media,
mm-hmm.
I think especially as a tech based company in like that, you want to have a strong social media presence. And I mean, obviously this is dependent on your brand and how you want to market your own business.
Yeah.
But like using TikTok, using Instagram Reels, that's going to be one of the easiest ways to reach new people. Because if you make the right content, if you make high quality videos, and you honestly make like 1 to 3 posts a week, that's it. Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. Even like 1 to 2 high quality posts that you take the time to think about, plan out everything, that's going to yield you better results than making 5-6 posts a week that are just half-assed.
Okay.
Yeah. And trying to reach people and making people aware of what your business is, that's going to be very helpful. Because mm-hmm. I feel like when you're reaching out to people and kind of doing like cold LinkedIn messages or cold DMs, like I don't know what the success rate is, but I've gotten many of those. And for me, my first thought about it's honestly like, is this a scam? Is this person real? Like, why is this person reaching out to me? And especially with like the internet, it's kind of hard for, I feel like people's first instinct isn't to always see the other person as like a human.
Yeah,
because it's behind a screen. So it's hard to be like, oh, maybe this is a person, you know, maybe Asma's trying to reach out to build this clientele. That may not be people's first instinct.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. You know what? You're spot on, because the success rate for LinkedIn messages and cold calling and cold emailing and stuff is pretty low, bro. It's pretty low.
So. But I mean, still do it. I mean, it's like, there's no heart, you know, there's no, what's the word? Not shame, but there's no like downside to really doing it.
Yeah. I feel like you have to like reach people at like very different, like in different ways. So like if you can possibly do it all, like it was mm-hmm. best if you can email, if you can be on TikTok, be on IG and everything, like that's the best way to be able to reach people.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, I feel like, you know, you won't figure out what works for you until you try a bunch of different things.
100%.
Yeah.
Try everything. And the last thing, and this was a piece of advice that I got, and this comes more so with like, I guess, networking, that term. And it's that make sure you're making connections with people that will say your name in a positive light when you're not there. You want to make connections with people that'll mention your business when it comes up.
Yeah, that's some good advice, bro.
That's what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, that's all from me.
Yeah.
Asma, thank you so much for coming on, brother. It was really nice to talk to you, get to know you.
Thank you so much for having me, bro. This hour flew by. I didn't even realize that it's been so long. Like this, I had an amazing time on the podcast, bro.
I'm really happy to hear that, man. And to everyone listening, please check out Phaeton Consulting. If you have any SMS marketing, email marketing needs, everything will be in the show notes. And Asma, do you have any final words?
Yeah, guys. So thank you for listening to the podcast. It was an honor to be on it. Shout out David. We've been talking for months, bro, trying to get on this podcast, and it's been delayed.
It's been a mission.
It's been a mission. Finally, we got it done. It was a great experience. If you guys want to be on the podcast, you know, David's a sick host. You guys should do it
all. Thank you.
Bro, I had a great time, David.
Thank you so much. And to everyone who's listening, I hope you enjoy this episode. Have an amazing morning, an amazing afternoon, evening, or night. Bye.
Bye, guys.